Father, we lift to you our hands in surrender. We lift to you our voice in praise, in honor, in respect to you, to who you are, what you've done, and what you're doing. We are grateful. We thank you for the price of your Son. We thank you for the Spirit of seal. We thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondages. We thank you that we are more than conquerors and that He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We thank you. We love you. And we ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies and your grace, your continued counsel, correction, and direction, granting us revelation and impartation tonight, opening our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what you are saying. Casting down all thoughts and imaginations, breaking and severing ourselves from all emotional attachments, severing and loosening ourselves from all sickness, disease, and infirmities and labels that the world has placed upon us. In the name of Jesus. And surrendering to you our spirit, soul, and body as a living sacrifice. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us, refresh us, fill us and empower us that we may continue to be about our Father's business. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. How's everybody tonight? Amen. You are blessed and highly favored because confession brings possession. Oh, hallelujah. God is good. All the time. Even when things aren't going right, God is still good. See, He don't change. He doesn't change. It's amazing how we change. We know that God is good all the time. But there's so many things that have a tendency to affect our hearts and change us in different directions and cause us to pause, cause us to move ahead, and all these other areas that cause us to rebel, cause us to be offended, and all kinds of foolishness of the flesh. And those are all the things that we don't see. So we know that it's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen. And one of the things that has been put on my heart as an individual begins to follow the dictates of their own heart or their feelings, they begin to overtake them and not realization that it's the forces of the enemy that's imparting them. And there's two areas that's very important. Not only is your prayer, praise, and worship important to maintain stability, but the other area, and the Holy Spirit has shared with me intently, is the area of fellowship. There is a specific corporate impartation when we are together. There's something special that God does when we are together. Does everybody get it? I mean, there's times when you may be struggling and you just walk in a room of your brothers and sisters and your struggle is gone. And you thought about asking somebody or getting counsel, and all of a sudden it's gone. And then you don't even, it's like, man, you know. And that's because there's a special impartation that God does in corporate when we are together. It's called fellowship. It's called assembly. And in this, it is so essential that we continue to maintain not only a prayer life, a worship life, but a corporate life. Because one of the things the enemy wants to do is begin to bring reason and justification why you don't need to be in fellowship. Now, would a marriage last if there was no fellowship? No. It's the same thing in our marriage with the Lord. We are married to the Lord. There must be fellowship, but there must also be fellowship within the fellowship. So there's a special impartation that God does because he puts certain people together to fulfill a purpose. And there's an impartation of that purpose. There's a training and everything that goes on. And it's important that we always complete that training so that we can go to the next level. Is everybody okay? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Would you read it with me? Ephesians 4:11, and it says, he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. That's what we call the fivefold ministry of the body of Christ. For the what? Equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I want you to understand something, that in this fivefold ministry of the body of Christ, it is important to understand that God has a position for you in one of those fivefolds, whether it be a teacher, an evangelist. Of course, we know that once you're saved, you're an evangelist. Hello. But there are specific offices of that also. There are specific offices of prophet, and there are specific offices that God has established, which is a part of his offices, where God puts an individual in that office. So we not only do we respect and honor the Lord, but we honor the offices, not in worship of them, but we worship the Lord. But in this, God puts this together so that we can become equipped. Are you listening? So what he does in this, and it says in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Now, unity of the faith means vision. Because faith is not blind, faith is spiritual sight, isn't it? So that in the fellowship, there is a specific vision that everybody receives. Now, you may have a specific function, but there is a total vision that everybody gets from the Lord. It's something imparted so you can see what you're involved in the fellowship, to see it all the way through. Now, you may not know what your part is yet in the fellowship, but there's a specific vision in the fellowship. Does everybody understand this? So what he's saying here is, till we all come to the unity of the faith in the vision, and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. That is called oneness. So here is an area where he's imparting vision and oneness. Now it goes back to verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, evangelists, and some pastors. What? For the equipping of the saints. So God always places us in a specific fellowship for equipping. After I had gotten saved, after my visitation from the Lord, he placed me into a fellowship. And in that fellowship, I began to get trained up. And I began to hang around those who were more mature and so forth. And I was a baby, but I was being trained up. And I stayed in that fellowship until the Lord shared with me it was time to go. So I stayed in that fellowship in the area of being with individuals, breaking bread and so forth, and learning and prayer, counseling, and all kinds of things. And as I began to grow in that fellowship, and many times I could always sense that the enemy wanted to try to get me to move out of position. Or somebody would approach me and say, well, you know what, this and here, man, why aren't you going here? Because God didn't tell me to go there. And I'm telling you, if you stay faithful to what God is asking you to do, there is an impartation that the devil can't steal. See, it's when you only do something halfway. And most of the time, many individuals only do things partial. Why? Because they get moved by emotion. They get moved by offense. And that is a demon. It is called a spirit of offense. It is a demon. And people open themselves up to these goofy spirits. So again, I want to go to verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of faith, that's vision, and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, that's oneness, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow. To the measure and the stature to the fullness of Christ. That is called the perfect will. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up, or may, that word means progress, in all things, into him who has head, Christ. Look at verse 16 now. From whom the whole body of Christ, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. That word in every joint supplies means each fellowship. Each fellowship. That each fellowship supplies according to the effective working by which every part means individual, does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Does everybody see this? And I'm going to repeat some of this here in a second. The hope is that there would be an impartation tonight and an understanding of the purpose of fellowship, in fellowship, assembling. Now, we know that it is a mandate from Christ to his bride or body and the children and his family and fellowship to equip, educate, impart, unify, and progress his purpose, his will, his spirit, and character through each fellowship to each person to carry out his will. Is everybody with me? Now, the first thing again, unity of faith is to what? Is the same vision. The perfect man is what? Oneness. The fullness of Christ is his perfect will for each fellowship, that they may grow up in all things to progress or mature. And it says that the whole body is his body walking in unity, because as each fellowship is doing what they're supposed to do and everybody's plugged into the fellowship and there's impartation going on, each individual is now partaking and responsible for their part in the fellowship, and each fellowship now is doing what they're supposed to do, and it's causing every fellowship to do their job according to the body of Christ, according to the head of Christ, where the body is all walking together. Are you understanding this? See, this is what happens in the area where so many times there's so much conflict between the fellowships, competition, compromise, and all kinds of foolishness, that it causes division in a body instead of unity in the body. You know, it's amazing how many churches split and how many things happen in the body of Christ. It's phenomenal. One of the things the Spirit shared with me, he said, any fellowship that is started or seated on offense is not mine. So when a church splits and somebody starts another ministry, if it started on offense, it's not his. Anything that is started on offense is of the flesh, and it will always open doors of familiar spirits. It'll have a form of godliness, but it'll deny the power. Does everybody understand that? Let's go a little further. Psalm 133. Every fellowship that starts on the seat of offense is not of the Lord. And it will become a den of Jezebels. Is everybody okay? In Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? Unity, oneness. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Now, of course, we understand that the oil is a representation of God's presence and anointing, isn't it? And it says it runs down from the head, that is the overseer. In other words, we know that Christ is our head, isn't he? But he puts places where there are areas where God puts an individual as an overseer in an office, and there's a specific anointing that he places in that office, and that anointing flows down to everybody else. Does everybody understand that? And the beard is a representation of offices. So in this, we know that the head of Christ, who's the overseer of all things, he places offices in position where the beard represents the offices where it runs down to. Are you with me? And then the garments are known as the individuals. The garments are the individuals. In other words, in each fellowship, there's a specific anointing for a specific purpose. There is a specific anointing for a specific purpose. That's why there's many places who do not do deliverance. There's many places where there's not healings. There's many. Are you listening? And they may just be seed planters. But that's what God's called them to do. Is there more available for them? Yes. But that's their choice. They have chosen to not go any further. And God has a place for them. Are you listening? See, God's got a place for every believer and whatever level. But he never prevents an individual from growing. Never. That's our choice. That's our choice. So he places us in specific fellowships to grow. So that you would reach that level. Once you reach a level in that fellowship, he determines in your relationship with him whether you're to be in that fellowship and serve or you're to go to another one. Are you listening? Is everybody okay? So we see here, through the anointing of his dwelling, carries his purpose, will, and blessing to go forth, progress, and prosper. To do what? Progress and what? And prosper. Say prosper. Say progress. So as you cooperate with God, will there be progression and prosperity? Yes. Yes. And Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. In verse 11. Is everybody there? 11 and 12. And Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he writes, "For I long to see you that I may what? That I may what?" Come on, everybody, say it. That I may what? Impart. In other words, there's a specific impartation. It's called a corporate impartation. When you and I are gathered together, there is a specific impartation God is trying to bring to me and you. "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual" what? "Gift, so that you may be" what? "Established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." So know that when we come together, there is a specific impartation that God is trying to bring to us so that we can be established. That means not moved. So that we can progress and what? Prosper. So that we can what? Progress and prosper. 1 Thessalonians 2. First Thessalonians 2:13. Would you read it with me, please? "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as a word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who" what? "Who believe." So we've got to step back and not look at man. We must step back and know that if God has called an assembly, that he wants to speak to each and every one of us with an impartation. And we must begin to take it seriously. Not just gather together to, "Oh, okay, well, I'm going to hear this." But never listen. Hello. But take it seriously that the Spirit is trying to bring an impartation to us. Maybe he's trying to convict us. Maybe he's trying to warn us. Maybe he's trying to prepare us. But in those three areas, he's always doing something when we gather together. Are you listening? Good. Let's go a little further. In verse 14. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Whoa. Let's go a little further. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in the presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again. But who? Satan hindered us. In other words, Paul was trying to get with the fellowship to bring a what? Impartation. But who kept preventing him to get there? Satan. Let me tell you, when it's time to gather together, Satan's always got an excuse for us. Always. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. In other words, God was trying to impart something. But Satan always hinders and steals, kills and destroys, trying to cause offense, division and strife, which the fruit of carnality and maturity is established. Now, in this again, please understand that even during the times of fellowship, Satan always tries to hinder you from receiving. He does everything he can to prevent you from the impartation. Do you know why? Because the Spirit of truth tells us things to come. So every time we gather together, there's something already going on in our life or something getting ready to happen in our life, all right? Or something that's happened in our life already, which we've been damaged by. That he's always trying to bring in an impart. So when the Holy Spirit gathers us together, what he's trying to do is establish you in the present, prepare you for your future, and heal your past. Does everybody got that? That's why it's so important. You know, many times, you know, when we minister in a jail and so forth, and I always share with the guys, listen, when you get out, make sure you are plugged in somewhere. Why? Because it's called accountability. Make sure you're plugged in somewhere. And if you're plugged in somewhere, make sure you're part of the fellowship. Make sure you're participating so that an impartation can be imparted in you that is going to save your life. You never know when. But the enemy, again, will do everything he can to prevent you from receiving that impartation. 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. And verse 6. Let's read it together. But we commanded you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you what? Withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we are not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we did not have authority, but to make ourselves an example in how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we commend and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person an idiot. Note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be what? Ashamed. Yet not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So what is he saying? He's saying, listen, be careful. In other words, don't agree with them, because then you're promoting something that's not of the Lord. You know, I can't tell you how many people that have been counseled in the area, and they tell me that the TV evangelist is their fellowship. I said, what? Yeah, man, I watch such and such every morning. That's how I fellowship. Well, you're an idiot. And that means spiritually blind. Has everybody got it? That's deceived. Are you understand it? The enemy's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is what? Fear. You got to understand something. The reality is that what's in that person, fear is preventing that person from fellowshipping, because that demon will be exposed. But see, that fear blinds a person. It blinds a person. It nullifies faith, because faith is sight. Faith is not blind. And we constantly got to keep in the area that you're not fighting flesh and blood. It's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen, so we're no longer deceived. Why do I feel that way? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why did I say that? Why am I offended? What have you opened, in other words, what have I opened myself up to? You know, people get offended because they get exposed. And then they want to run instead of allowing God to deal with them. Because the protector of self, which is who? Pride. Attempts to reason, justify, and cause confusion that promotes offense and allows self to do its will. You know, remember, God establishes a special impartation when we gather together. There's something special. Are you with me? Ephesians 4 again. Everyone in this room, at some time or another, has gotten in, when they came to fellowship and there has been an impartation, you know, it either exposed something that you were dealing with, something you were getting ready to do, you just got rescued from. I don't want to see any hands, but how many times have you been in a fellowship and you go, man, I know God speaking right to me. Amen. I know God's speaking to me every time he's speaking. I don't look and go, oh, that's for that person. No, it's for me. It's a, you know, the ones that are saying, well, that's for that person. It's usually for the one that's thinking it's for that person. Can't be for me. No way. I'm as blind as can be. I couldn't get any blinder. Oh, he ain't talking to me, no. No, he's talking to you. Ephesians 4:25. Is everybody there? Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Hello. And do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give what? Nor give place to the devil. Nor give what? Place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. And that let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may what? Impart what? Grace. Now that word grace means the will of God, doesn't it? That it may impart grace to the hearer, the will of God. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. In other words, don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Why? How do we give place to the devil? One of the areas is, of course, coming in agreement with the voice of the stranger. Amen? One of the things he does... Listen, it's amazing where people think that people are trying to control other people. Are you hearing? People are kind of trying to control people. You know, I want God to control me. I want them to control me. I want them to set borders in my life. I want them to pull back the reins when I'm getting ready to do something I shouldn't be doing. I want him to control me. I want him to take my life. I've given him my life. Lord, take it. I'm an idiot without you. I need you. And see, that is the reality that we must come to, that we are nothing without him. He says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Well, you're getting knowledge tonight and the importance of fellowship. And even if you choose to stay here in fellowship, in this fellowship, or go to another fellowship, you will be prepared to know what the devil is trying to do with you. Because see, you can find it all over. The first thing he tries to do is remove you from the fellowship. Then he can impart all the stuff. Yeah, just like a sheep in a flock, the wolf comes and removes the one sheep. He waits for it to sway. And then he goes, whoo! And that's what the devil does. And then he brings in, and the next you know, that sheep has been eaten by the wolf and then comes against the flock or tries to take many out to go get eaten. That's his job. That is a demon. And a demon of offense will do that constantly because it will produce bitterness, hatred, division, and strife. And it drips venom until it can eat. Is everybody okay? It ain't pretty. You know, did you ever hear that commercial, tires ain't pretty? Well, demons aren't pretty either. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Verse 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let's go there. Let us hold fast the what? Confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking to what? Assembling of ourselves together is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, he's saying, don't forsake to assemble together. Why? Because the enemy, listen, things are getting tougher out there, man. We need one another. It's important. Not forsaking to assemble for the impartation, so you are trained up in Christ, in his purpose of the fellowship, and fulfill your call. Not being anxious, but enduring to be faithful, because as you're faithful with a little, he gives you what? More. Listen, don't look at what you don't have. Use what you have. It's amazing how we always look at what we don't have. We're always like, man, God, you know, I need this, man. Use what you got. When you use what you got, God will give you more. I'm telling you, that was one of the things the Lord told me. I said, Lord, we need this, we need that. He said, I know. Use what you have, and I'll give you more. And as I began to use what we had, he began to give more. Do you remember the woman who had the oil and the flour? What happened? She kept using it, kept filling. Didn't run out. Because the Lord said, use what you have. See, we must use what we have. When you are faithful with using what you have, he gives you more. He won't give you more until you use what he's given you already. Hebrews 12, verse 18. Looks good. Hebrews 12, 18. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses and I said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. You have not come to that mountain. He's talking that fellowship. He's talking something different now. But you have come to the Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general what? Assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just man made perfect, to Jesus the mediator in the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. In other words, he is looking at the assembly in a serious way, isn't he? He is looking at the congregation. He's looking at the fellowship in a totally different way as it is according to Mount Zion, a city within a city. Your fellowship is a city extension of Mount Zion, a city within the city. And it's marked. It's got places. Knows everyone's got a function in the city. There's marketplaces. There's resorts. There's stores. There's surpluses. There's hair salons. There's tennis courts. Hallelujah. It's all a part of the city that God has placed us in. Are you with me? In other words, in this fellowship is a city within a city. Everybody has a specific function, wherever they are. But we all carry the same vision. We all carry the area of oneness. And that's what God wants to do, is bring us in the place of like-mindedness so that we can fulfill what He's called us to do. So everybody has a part to play wherever they are, no matter what it is. If you're a construction worker, a detailer, whatever it is. In other words, those are all operations in the city where the extension of vision and oneness is released in every area. Is everybody okay? But it all starts in the impartation of assembling. Hebrews 2. Verse 10. For it was fitting for Him for whom all things and by whom all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them what? Brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly, and I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in Him, and again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed He does not give aid to angels, but He does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Are you the seed of Abraham? Amen. Therefore, in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted. He talks about praise in the assembly. So we are having praise in the assembly. And He comes in it with an impartation to each and every one of us. In Proverbs 24, would you go there? Proverbs 24 and verse 1. Do not be what? Envious of men, nor desire to be with them. For their heart devises what? Violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. By wise counsel you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors there is what? There is what? Safety. So as we assemble together, we are in a multitude of counselors, aren't we? We are in a multitude of counselors right now. Well, no one spoke to me. Well, the Spirit is speaking to you. The Spirit is revealing things to you. He's opening. He's imparting. So there's safety in the fellowship of counselors, isn't there? That's why He says, do not forsake to assemble. And Malachi 3. Malachi 3. In verse 6. Would you read it with me? 3:6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That is the fellowship. Are you getting it? That's the what? Fellowship. That there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Those are opportunities. And pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now I want to share something with you. If you're one, an individual that does tithes and offerings, but you're out of divine order, guess who's stealing everything from you? The devil. Are you listening? So, well, I'm tithing and I'm doing offerings and I'm doing all these things. Yeah, well, you're still touching unclean things. You're still doing stupid stuff. How do you expect the Lord to bless you? He's trying to bless you, but you're allowing the devil access. He says, make no place for the devil, right? I'm telling you, it blows my mind because I've talked with people who don't understand why they're not being blessed. And they do tithes and offering. And I tell them, because you're out of divine order, that's why. You're still touching unclean things. The devil, you've opened yourself up to the devil. You keep forsaking to assemble, you're doing your own thing. And by doing your own thing, that is the will of self. And the devil will come and steal, kill, and destroy. I don't care how much money you can bring to the kingdom. Until you get in divine order, then that money will be counted for. Are you listening? Ooh. Verse 11, look what he says. He says, I will what? I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. That means he won't steal your money. Nor shall the vine fail and bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you what? Blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So he's talking about the assembly. He's talking about the fellowship again. This is known as the storehouse of the fellowship. Each place has one. And he's planted a specific purpose in how the money is supposed to be used. Not every fellowship brings Bibles and teachings and so forth to the jail. Not everyone brings it to the park on Sundays. There's a specific purpose. Not every fellowship buys hot dogs, hamburgers, and all kinds of stuff and brings it to the park. But there's a specific purpose that God has planted for each fellowship and how the storehouse and the finances should be established and distributed. Acts 2. Now, I'm not going to pass a bucket around. I'm going to pass a garbage can around. Acts chapter 2. Of course, then you have those who are thinking they're in divine order, but they refuse to tithe. You know, God doesn't need our money. The fellowship does. So they can do the will of God. In Acts chapter 2. Is everybody there? Oh, this is nice. In verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they did what? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and what? And prayers. Then the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being what? Saved. So they continued with the doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread. We are breaking bread right now. The bread is the word. God is using the word to break open mysteries. Are you listening? I want you to go beyond just eating. Go beyond the flesh. Go beyond the communion. So we are breaking bread by open mysteries of his word in intercession and worship because of corporate impartation. So when we get together and the Spirit is breaking bread, he's opened the word of mysteries. He's opening the word of mystery or the breaking of the bread because there's a corporate impartation. In Joel chapter 2, is everybody okay? Good. Joel chapter 2. See, there's a lot more than you thought about assembly, huh? Me too. You know, when you think about it, that's all they did in the Old Testament. They gathered together. Where did they all hang around? I mean, look at where all the tribes of Israel were. They're all around the what? Assembly. They're all around the tabernacle of God, weren't they? In the book of Joel. In chapter 2, verse 15. Blow the trumpet where? In Zion. This is our Zion right now. This is our Jerusalem. This is the city within the city. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred what? Assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out of his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. We are the bride. This is the dressing room. So when we fellowship and gather together, we are being, it's the dressing room. There's a special corporate impartation and preparation so that we can go out. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep before the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? So we hear the trumpet, the call in the sacred assembly, sanctification in the congregation. We are the bride in the dressing room coming out to battle against the ungodly rule. We are coming out to battle against the what? Ungodly rule. Oh, yeah. Now I want to go back to Hebrews 12, I think. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So know that there are things being shaken. There's things being shaken in your life. God is shaking things. It doesn't always mean that it's sin. It means that it's not pleasing him. Are you listening? There are things that he shakes in our life that it might not be sin, but it's something that he's not wanting us to associate with. There's things shaking in our life right now. He is shaking those things. He's trying to get us into a place where it's just you and him. You and him. Where you're no longer relying on anything but him. I'm going to close at 1 John chapter 1. In verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have handled upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. In these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ourselves only, but also for the whole world. For the whole world. Understanding as we fellowship together, when we come together in the corporate, there's a special corporate impartation that God is putting in you. You might not comprehend it. You may not understand it right away, but it will come, and it always comes. You know, you're in here, we're all together today, but I'm telling you within, it may happen to some of us right away. It may happen to some of us right tonight. And for some of us, it may happen 4 or 5 days from now, that what was imparted will become revelation to you. See, I'm not only in love with His presence, but I love revelation. Why? Because I know my dad has spoken and imparted something in me. And I look forward to it coming to the surface or it manifesting. You know why? Because it brings me encouragement. It brings me encouragement. Revelation brings us encouragement. So we can't allow our expectations to be in a place that are not of God, because people get very discouraged when their expectations are not met. Then that means you're trusting in your expectations and not Him. Are you listening? In this, it is important to maintain fellowship for a corporate impartation. That was Paul's desire, to visit all the churches that had been established corporately to bring an impartation. And it should be our desire to receive it. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will reap. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be protected by the blood and grow and bear fruit for your glory. And Lord, we just take this time and we ask for your forgiveness and repent for every area where we have come in agreement with the voice of the stranger and forsaken assembling as you commanded and tried to create our own assembly with the things you've not asked us to. So Father, we commit all things to you. We forgive and bless those who persecute us, use us, and speak against us. We speak peace to Jerusalem and Israel and protection. Lord, let her stand strong. Let her stand strong. Let the president be strong in Israel and bring revival to the body of Christ and to this nation and unity in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Be blessed.